Happy hour! Ah, yes. Midweek Wednesday, quick week. Still feels like Monday, even though it's Wednesday. But the good news is we are past the halfway point on New Sports Talk, 98.7 AM 1370, WGCLradio.com. The ninth month, the ninth day, the year 2020. And Dave Novak is here for happy hour. You are the last man outside. Let's spin the roulette wheel and see what we come up with in the forecast world. And you think it's going to be?
Well, it was hot and humid. I know that.
88 feels like 89. So the humidity's at 42%. Not maybe as bad as we've had, but if there's a breeze going on, which it doesn't seem to be, at least from our vantage point, I don't see any leaves.
I've been indoors most
shaking.
Of today.
Have you?
Which
all
is
right.
Unusual for me.
That's all right. When I've been indoors here since enough to freeze my kneecaps off. But I like that's all right.
That's all right.
I'm awake. I'm ready to go. And we've got a busy program for you here in the last hour. I have 89 feels like 88, as we told, or 88 feels like 89. We're not going to get any warmer than that today. That's the good news. Overnight, 65. You can follow the full forecast at WGCLradio.com. Quickly, before we get to the high school football, which is Dave's wheelhouse, and we do every Wednesday to get you prepared for the upcoming weekend and the previous week. Behind us on the television is the U.S. Open going on this afternoon. Daniil Medvedev and Rublev, the all-Russian quarterfinal. Medvedev is up two sets to love. Rublev leads 5-4 in the third. Easy for me to say. Dominic Thiem will be later. He is the two seed. He is the highest seeded player left after Djokovic was disqualified after firing the ball at the lineswoman the other day. That's not a very good idea. Medvedev is the third seed. Venus Williams, well, she's been out. Serena Williams, on the other hand, lost the first set and rallied to beat Pironkova 6-3 and 6-2 after losing set number one, 6-4. You have Azarenka and Mertens, the nighttime matchup on the women's side. It's quarterfinal Wednesday at Flushing, Queens. Very strange to see with no fans in the stands. But if they ask you a question, would you rather have no tennis with fans or no fans in tennis? I think most everybody would say, hey, go ahead and throw some tennis up there.
Yeah.
We've got nothing else to do here on an afternoon. Reds fall to the Cubs last night. Let's play another game. How many hits did the Reds have last night? Was it? I'll give you multiple choice because I know you're not the biggest baseball fan, and that's fine. But it's just
I did not look.
And you wouldn't because you would have thrown up by now. The Reds lose 3-0. The Reds pitching staff only gives up 4 hits.
Okay.
Reds made 0 errors. Tyler Malley went a career-high tying 7 innings, struck out 10, and took the loss 3-0.
Pretty so far.
Did the Reds have A, 3 hits, B, 4 hits, C, 5 hits, or D, 7 hits in their 6th shutout of being shut out in 41 games, 42 games?
I'll say 3 hits.
Close, 5. So they are making progress.
All right, well,
you're used to their average, which is about 4.5. And so over 42 games, you can't be cold for 42 games, and that's kind of the frustrating point of the Reds right now. And again, you throw away a great starting performance and you can't get any big hits. I think they bounced into double plays the end of the 7th and the 8th. That's not timely hitting.
No.
That's not. And that's not unlucky hitting. That's not good hitting. That's what that is.
You don't even need a lot of hits. You just need them in the right spots.
You need timely hits. And the Reds, again, didn't score any runs. Why? Well, they didn't have any home runs. That's pretty easy to figure out.
Yep.
Reds tonight will send Trevor Bauer against Yu Darvish. That's a tasty pitching matchup for the neutrals. 8 o'clock, Tommy Thrall pregame. 8:15, first pitch from the Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago. We're back with the Cardinals for you on Saturday. And look at the calendar, Mr. Novak. You should be impressed with that.
Look at that.
You
came in early.
We are full. And it starts tomorrow night. The National Football League will raise the curtain. The Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, will host Houston. Go Chiefs, obviously, with the Colts in the AFC South. 7:30 is pregame tomorrow night. You and Joe will be at Martin Memorial. High school football, week number 4. Always week number 4 is rivalry week. The battle for the city this week is on the north side, as south and north will get together. Chalk talk at 6:30 with both city coaches. 7 o'clock, kick time from the Maroon and Gold's home field. Reds return on Saturday, and then looky-looky, a doubleheader on Sunday. Colts in Jacksonville. We'll do some Colts later in the program. Matt Taylor and Rick Venturi, your new radio broadcast team. Jim Sorgi is no longer on that.
All right.
So you get the very verbose.
Rick likes to talk.
He does. Well, radio's a good thing for talking.
Rick's pretty smart, though.
He is. He's really good about football. Let's hope it translates on the radio.
Right.
Noon, pregame. Matt Taylor's broadcast begins at 1 with Rick riding co-pilot. And then Westwood One's presentation of Sunday Night Football is Sunday, 7:30. We're in Los Angeles, the brand new SoFi Stadium. The Dallas Cowboys and Los Angeles Rams. And then it's a doubleheader Monday Night Football, as always, on week one. Pittsburgh and the Giants at 6:30. Tennessee and Denver is your late game. So you've got AFC South on Thursday, AFC South on Monday, and then the other two teams playing each other on Sunday. Right there in the front of it all. Check all our schedules at WGCLradio.com. Last week, you're on the South Side.
Yep.
An absolutely perfect
night,
great night for high school football. And again, a little bit of a slug fight as the North Patriots.
Terre Haute North, yes.
Of Terre Haute North got there on time.
Yeah,
which,
yes, they did.
Which was good.
And a late start, just to be sure, 7:30.
The South Panthers, after going through all their senior activities, came in, and that was a pretty tight football game, touch and go, through about 3.5 quarters until the South Panthers finally put it away late. And you were ringside for the first time with the purple and white. What'd you learn from Gabe Johnson's new squad?
You know, the defense is coming along. They've got some young players that they've had to put in there. The one kid in the middle, Zach Dobas, at linebacker, is just tackling everything in sight.
Good problem to have.
Yeah, Mason Vernon was kind of the surprise newcomer last year, and Zach is getting more time this year and has really been the surprise newcomer there. Not as much pressure, I think, as you'd like to see on the backfield, which is something that the South defense has kind of prided itself on. I think they have the guys.
It's not winning the point of attack.
Well, it's
scheme. What do you see there?
It has looked as like more of an attacking group in the past, where you don't know where people are coming from, but you know they're coming. Now, Terre Haute North took them out of a little bit of that because of the physicality, and the style of their running game. It was a lot of option up front, and then there was a more I formation later, so that took away some of that pressure. But that's something I think you're going to want to see South get more of as the season goes on. The back end is pretty solid on that team. On that team, they made Terre Haute North work for it on offense. And when Terre Haute North had to work for it, eventually something went wrong for them much of the time, which is why they only scored 10 points. And I think that's the difference between the run
angle.
Defense we saw in week three versus weeks two and one is those other teams were able to keep get going and get into the end zone a couple more times.
But you talked about Terre Haute North's physicality a little bit in South, holding a team to 10 points in the high school game.
Yes.
We'll talk about North here in a minute and Edgewood here in a minute. That's not perfect, but that's really good.
Well, and again, the key there too is that it was a offense that did not matchup that the South defense maybe didn't match up so well against, and yet they did that. So I mean, that's the good thing there is that they did hold them and in a couple key spots got out on downs, that sort of thing. The punt return or not punt return but the fake punt that Terre Haute North ran was a huge mistake that South capitalized on it and played perfectly on special teams.
But that does count.
Absolutely.
Yes. Special teams is a part of it.
That was the difference in the game right there.
And you talked about it last week when you don't have time to have helmets and pads on and do all that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing special teams isn't pushed to the front of the line on things you need to get done.
Yeah,
you'd love to have it get done.
Yeah,
but
and tackling is the other one.
Sure.
You didn't have a lot of physical time.
But to make a play on the special team side of things, the call.
Right.
You're hoping they didn't work on special teams a lot because they were working on tackling.
Exactly.
Down and distance, time and space is a little bit strange, but that's their issue, not South's issue.
Yeah, on the offensive side for South, I mean, DJ Bull looked very confident and in charge out there. He did have the one interception, but really that was a punt. That was a deep ball where he had a guy open and maybe didn't quite get it there. But really not a horrible, horrible play, and it didn't work out against him really too bad. But he looked good. He looked good throwing the ball out quickly with some zip on it to the right spots. The slant pass was a great call and a nice route, and credit the speed, of course, of Jalen Peck there. But nicely done by DJ Bull. Offensive line still, I think, needs to strengthen up a little bit and get that running game going a little bit. That's what you're used to seeing is it's not that South won't pass. It's that they'd much prefer running to set it up. And right now they might be the opposite direction from the way they're trending. So from that standpoint, they got a ways to go in the running game. They've got a big, powerful back as opposed to a speedy back. That's the one difference this year too. But that's got some room to grow right now.
And the other part of South that I don't want to get lost in the shuffle here, it's only the first week that we've had him on the radio. New head coach, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. So you would think this will be trending as the season goes on once they get more time running their stuff. Because, frankly, the offseason, I don't know
they
if
didn't
told,
really have it that much.
Well, that's the whole point to it. So when you talk about running the football, it looks like they're giving guys opportunities. How many linemen returned from last year? Zero, was it?
Joe says one. There's one kid that got some playing time, but he was not a regular starter to my knowledge. So, I mean, I think there was all five really that are brand new.
So you bring in two new coordinators, a new coach, a new offensive line. That's why the fun thing about high school football is nobody you can develop.
Yeah.
You can have a season. Mm-hmm. It's not week three and our national championship chances are gone.
And as much as they like the tailback, Jordan Tolden, who's going to be very good, Maverick Terry is the leading rusher in the history of Bloomington South High School. There's some pretty good rushers that have gone through that high school.
Yes.
So that's what you lost at tailback as well, a tough kid, a speedy kid, a big play kid. Right now what South doesn't look like is they don't look like they have it was certainly in the running game, they don't have big plays available. They're just kind of churning a little bit and not even a lot necessarily there. So, again, that's something they're going to focus on, I know, because they want that to be more reliable. If nothing else, they can use a couple big plays early in the game and then kill it off with the run.
Oh, sure.
But right now they're just not getting the consistency.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out with that. And if you leave your defense out there to dry as well, that doesn't happen. Maddox Blackwell didn't have three interceptions. Everything okay?
He did have one. A ball popped up in the air.
That's why I said three.
He's just such an instinctive player, and he's always in the right spot. Made a couple nice catches, big catches for that offense during the course of the game. Wasn't an incredible offensive game, across the board.
Five balls for 35 yards.
Yeah, but he's a playmaker. I mean, he just is. He's in the right spots. He's making the right plays. He had a big hit on a screen pass, I think it was, where he came up and slapped a guy around a little bit. You got a playmaker out there, and that's why he's running so much on both ways.
We've seen South struggle with turnovers early in the first couple games. Did that haunt them on Friday night?
No, they had the one turnover, the one interception, but that's I guess
you said the interception was more like a punt anyhow.
Yes,
so that's not
it was a deep ball.
I'm like you guys did in week one when I believe it was week one when Luzano overthrew somebody with 10 seconds left in the half and they're 90 yards. Who cares about that turnover? Yeah. It goes down as an interception. It goes down in the column as a pick, but if you're throwing it 60 yards and switching the field, or it doesn't hurt you at the end of a half, okay, gotcha.
They were on about their own 40-yard line, I think. It's a seam pass to Peck up, and so he's trying to run in between the defensive backs. The corner's dropping deep. The safety's dropping deep. He has a step or two on them. I think the ball is slightly underthrown, so it gives a chance for the safety to come back and make the play. He's a much bigger guy than Jalen Peck was, so when they both went up for it, the safety won.
But it's
a 40-yard pass. So, I mean, it was as effective as a punt. Now, I don't recall off the top of my head if Terre Haute North went down the field.
Probably not. They only had 10 points.
Exactly. But even then, you gave your defense a great shot because you were making them go 75, 80 yards with it at the very least. So it didn't hurt them. The one early on, I think had a chance of hurting him, and that was lost track of it, but that was the fumbled kickoff to start the game. But I don't believe we had any points off of that that I recall. It's better. It's something they got to get cleaned up. And decision-making-wise, I thought DJ Bull made all – the right decisions from what I can tell. And that's always a question mark with your quarterback is, are you making the right decisions? You mentioned Lozano's interception in week one that didn't cost him right before the half. Greenwood ended up in North territory at the end of that half with a chance to do something. But he made the exact right decision. He just made a bad pass. And that happens too.
Sometimes turnovers do
want to start with decision making. Bob Knight might've said it. A lot of people have said it over the years, but the first thing that happens is mental. You think these are physical games, but the first thing that happens out there is mental. Are you doing the right things? Are you making the right play? Are you going the right direction with the ball? Are you giving it to the right person? All those things are the first thing. Then you rely on all the athleticism and the physicality of the game.
Defense held on fourth down at the 20, and then they went the other way for 81 yards. Mm-hmm. And a score, so they turned a negative into a positive, and their defense bailed them out, and the offense went down and took advantage of it.
The defense did a good job. They got off the field. And we talked about that in the first 2 weeks. There was a couple times in both the first 2 weeks games with North at Greenwood and Edgewood at home to Monrovia where they just couldn't get that running game off the field, and that ended up hurting.
And it piles up on you in the third and fourth quarter.
Absolutely.
I think that's where people sometimes
get part conditioning was one of the things that have been missed a bit,
totally.
At least official conditioning.
And whoever is winning is in better shape. You know why?
Yeah.
You're never tired. tired when you're ahead of the scoreboard.
No question.
Never tired. You're
always happy.
And your defense is never a step slow, and your offense is always in rhythm when you're leading, and that's why it's important. South Panthers, winners last week, 17 to beat a ranked team. That's a nice feather in the cap for Gabe Johnson.
Yeah, and Terrell North, I'm not sure how good they are.
Squirrely quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's dangerous, but I don't
in a good way. I don't mean, yeah.
They were physical up front. You know, they had a good running game. The quarterback really can't throw it real well. So if you put pressure on the running game, I think you can control that team a little bit more.
But they
did have a couple good wins in the first couple weeks.
South Panthers winners, Gabe Johnson's first home win as a head coach, first ranked victory as a head coach as well. We'll do all the firsts and get those out of the way. Well, when you're at South for your first time, you have to check those boxes off. Speaking of the North Cougars, they had a free-for-all against the other Terre Haute.
Yeah.
It was a compass week. It was North and South and North and South, just depending on who you were rooting for. And these North Cougars are maroon and gold and had another offensive explosion. What is that, about 100 points in the last two games?
Almost, yeah.
The opponents have not been, not ranked. But after week one, second half, where the offense did stall out for only 10 plays against Greenwood, Dave, we thought moving forward that we would see Anthony Lindsay's crew, starting with quarterback Reese Lozano, start getting deeper into the playbook, perhaps execution of the offensive line we know had to be better. But if you look at Cody Miklich, he's breaking big runs.
Yeah.
The wide receivers are catching big passes. The quarterback's throwing big passes. This is the North we thought we'd see for four quarters in week one, but Greenwood's pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad. And remember, on the first play of the game, Cody Miklich went about 65 yards in that Greenwood game. So, I mean, he's shown the big play capabilities. That offense has big play capabilities. I watched their two-minute video of this game online that gets posted on Max Preps, and it's all 40-yard passes or runs or above, and it's about eight of them or so. They've got that capability. They've got a bunch of wide receivers that can do it. The quarterback
plays.
Can get it all over the field. Miklich can make you pay. He had two carries for two touchdowns and 150 yards on those two plays. He can make a big play every time he touches the ball.
Eight for 200 or
something
ridiculous?
Like that. Yeah. It was crazy. But
to have that kind of reminds you, and I'm not comparing him to Maverick Thierry, having the break a tackle and go guy never hurts an offense.
Oh, yeah, no.
Never hurts
an
offense.
You love that speed, and he's got good enough vision to get outside.
And you have to respect him.
Absolutely. And they'll get him outside on purpose a little bit also. So I think he even took a screen pass for something like 30 or 40 yards. The kid's got great potential out there, and he's flashing it every week.
He's just a sophomore, right?
He's just a sophomore. Right. I mean, he did it in his first game last year against Greenwood. He had like eight carries, 180 yards or something nuts. That offense certainly hitting its stride the last 2 weeks. As you mentioned, the competition the last 2 weeks, not up to the Greenwood level, not up to the South level. But this one will be fun this weekend because you get a pair of offenses, South coming along, North maybe hitting its stride right now, and a pair of young defenses that are trying to prove themselves. You always say, okay, a couple of really good offenses and defenses that are struggling, that's going to be a shootout. This will probably end up being 13-10 or something crazy. But I think it'll be a really good game because both teams still have a lot of finding out of themselves that they want to do.
And for those people that say, well, Anthony Lindsay coached at South last year, he'll know all this and that and then about – well – not really, because we just told you about South and how many new fresh faces they have. I'm not sure you can make that connection. But we know in these city rivalry games that we'll talk about here after the break as well, we'll always see a little trickery.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always see a little pressure. We'll always see a few turnovers just because we're trying to make that one inch, that extra yard.
Yeah, and you've got playmakers out there.
And that's the other fun part.
You know, I love this matchup of Reese Lozano and Maddox Blackwell. And, of course, there's 11-on-11 out there, but Reese can go anywhere on the field out there. He's got five receivers that can all make big plays, including Miklich is one of them. They can all make a big play. But then there's Maddox Blackwell sitting in the back end going, bring it. I can do that as well, and I can take it 90 back. So.
Well, we'll talk more about South and North. That's our featured game for you this Friday night. 6:30 is Chalk Talk. It's Coach Bless. He's the host. He'll get things started. Then we'll hear from Gabe Johnson and the South Panthers. Joe will handle Chalk Talk. Dave will handle the stats and analysis. 7 o'clock kickoff, and we know the ticket part for that is what the ticket thing is going to be. We won't even bring that up. We will bring up, though, the Edgewood Mustangs. They had a great bounce back week, as we thought they would have, finally, when their game got started. We'll give them a look-see backwards and a little preview as well. Our high school football coverage continues next. Reds on the radio tonight in Chicago. Game two of the three-game series. Reds falling 3-0 last night. Tonight, they will send to the mound Trevor Bauer against Yu Darvish. Tasty pitching matchup that the Reds desperately need to win. The Reds are 18-24, folks. They are not mathematically eliminated in this strange world because of the extra playoff teams this year. But win one, lose one, win one, lose one. We'll see them struggle down the road. Pacers news briefly, according to ESPN Women's Hoops, San Antonio Spurs assistant Becky Hammon and former Sacramento Kings and Memphis Grizzlies coach Dave Jaeger, Meister, are among 12 candidates expected to participate in the first round of virtual interviews with the Pacers coaching job on the line and open ready to go. Sources told ESPN 12. So it doesn't sound like they had anybody in mind, just not Nate anymore.
Yeah.
And interesting for the Pacer fans as well, Billy Donovan was not retained by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yesterday, they agreed to mutually part ways. His contract expired and was not extended or put together. He turned chicken you-know-what into chicken salad there.
Yep.
Here's the bad news. Where'd Victor Oladipo come from?
Yep.
Yeah. They traded him once.
Right, that's exactly
that's
right.
Going to be a hard.
Yeah, hard.
And guess why Nate McMillan's no longer the coach? Well, you got to make sure that the Supermax guy you're going to load up with gold coins is happy.
Right.
And he's not going to stay unless he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to try to connect.
He has the choice.
And if you're trying to connect the Billy Donovan dots there, Terry Stultz will help us on Big Show Friday. I don't think he can do it. Tomorrow's Thursday. That means Osterman's here on the 20th anniversary of Bob Knight's firing by Indiana University. If you catch Zach's story today, he's got a big oral history on what happened 20 years ago. If you want to walk down memory lane,
Yeah. Well,
we'll do it tomorrow with him at 5:05. That's Dave Novak. He is our high school football guru, and he will be with the Hall of Famer Joe Smith Friday night. Martin Memorial Field on the north side, south and north. The battle for the city, 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff. The Edgewood Mustangs also have a rivalry game this week. They're going to black and blue with their friends at Owen Valley. And since you have seen Edgewood in week two, they bounced back nicely with a 35-0 victory over Indianapolis, late arriving Washington.
Yeah.
Last Friday night, but a response we thought we'd see from Brian Rosenberg's crew.
Yeah, they looked out of sorts in week two. Monrovia is a team they should have handled, kind of partly gave that game away and just weren't there enough to compete. And you have to be. That happens from time to time in sports, and it did last week. But expected a good reaction, and you got it. They still weren't perfect. Were the Mustangs. They had three fumbles in the first half. That kind of put a damper on what they were doing, but the big plays, steady play, over 300 yards rushing, which is much more what Brian Rosenberg wants from that team. 7 of 8 throwing by Blessinger. That's exactly what you should get when you've got a good rushing team in front of you, a game in front of you. So a really good reaction out of Edgewood, exactly what you expected. And now yet another home game in a rivalry game. And Owen Valley is a team that's been really very bad the last couple of years. They started to come on a little bit last year.
They gave Edgewood all they wanted last year.
They did, but yeah. They were not a good football team the last couple of years. They look better this year. They have a very surprising result from last week to just about everybody in the conference, as they gave Indian Creek a pretty good game. They're actually down, I think, about 12 and scored to make it a 5-point game, but still that 5-point score holding Indian Creek to 20 points, that shows up in everybody's eyes right now. And, if Edgewood thinks, and this is a team, remember, this Edgewood team kind of laid down a little bit in week two. If they think they're going to have it easy in week four against an Owen Valley team that they've had their number here recently, they got another thing coming. So, Rosie's going to have to make sure he's got all of their attention, and the seniors are going to have to make sure they've got their team's attention on this one.
Well, he's pretty happy with the seniors because they got him fired up in the delay. Didn't sit around and mope and say, woe is me, and what are we waiting for? Why aren't they here yet? So let's dance, put some music on, have a good time. And it was interesting as well. Brian Rosenberg thought they were completely flat against Monrovia. So at practice all week, I read in the HT, he had the tunes on all
week.
Let's
have some fun.
Well, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
We got enough problems in the world. We got enough things to worry about in the world. You should get done with school and come to football practice. And if it's not any fun, Monrovia happens.
Yeah.
And if it's fun, Washington can happen.
Remember, all of these protocols that they have to go through just to be able to practice and then play a game and things like that, these things can weigh on you. They weigh on all of us.
Absolutely.
That's why people want to go out to dinner right now. That's why people can't help but get together with people and want to go to a bar or whatever it is. Everybody's sick of it. Everybody's sick of it. And now you about multiply all those precautions by 5 or 10, and now you're talking about what it's taking right now to put on a high school sports game and a practice and a season right now. So, again, these are 16, 17-year-old kids facing all this. So it weighs on you a lot. You got to make sure you plan in some fun in there. And so that was good to hear that, that they did that. And it's a good bunch. I mean, it's a good bunch out there. So I really think they're going to have a really good season. They just they had one bad week. They know what it is. They identified it, and hopefully they flushed it. And I think this week is going to tell you whether that's something that'll linger or whether that's something that's flushed, because you can see a rival that you've had their number on pretty well recently and kind of relax a little bit, and that's when it hurts you. And I don't expect that they're going to this time, because if they do, they'll get beat. I mean, Owen Valley's good enough this year, they can beat them.
The excellent Jim Gordillo has tweeted the Monroe County stat leaders after 3 weeks in the rushing department. Brody Schaefer, 372 yards, has one more yard than Cody Mikulich.
Yep.
Cody's averaging 14.3
maybe half
yards.
As many attempts.
Less than that, or more than that. 61 attempts to 26. But Levi Bay, 313 yards, and Blessinger, 295. So you almost have, after 3 weeks, everybody averaging 100 yards.
Yep.
That's what the red and black ground attack wants to do, and that should open things up for Blessinger under center. Jordan Tolden from South is fifth on that list with 167 yards with 39 carries. But 14.3 for Mikulich. That is legit.
Solid, yeah.
Black and Blue, Edgewood, and Owen Valley senior night at the Mustang Corral. They're going to recognize band cheerleaders and everything, just what you saw last week at Bloomington South. So there is your area high school football roundup and preview for this week with the Mustangs in Owen Valley. That's everybody's going at 7 o'clock, correct? This
yes,
time around,
that's correct.
Okay,
that's correct.
It's only the Terre Haute schools that screw things up, right?
Yeah, Indianapolis, you might, but no.
Should have last week.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah,
but
well,
you,
definitely.
Didn't
definitely.
Get,
well,
didn't
I think they were scheduled for 7:30 and didn't make it till 8:30.
Here we go. This came out 4 hours ago from Bloomington North Athletics. That's Andy Hotson. Ticket information for North and South due to restrictions on our seating capacity, our football stadium. The following restrictions will be in place. No general admission at the gate or pre-sale to the public. Tickets are $6 for those of you who can get one. Tickets are only available for participating football players, cheerleaders, and band members for their purchase. Here's how it goes. Seniors 3, juniors 2, sophomores and freshmen 1 apiece. That's from Andy Hotson. That shouldn't surprise anybody, because I don't think any of that has changed since last week when the Cougars had their home opener. Yes, it does stink, but that's why you're going and Joe's going to be there. You can hear it right here on WGCL. Yep. That's or Duke's back deck. You pick. 5:40, quick timeout, then Network Indiana News. The Colts, hey, look, 53 men. Hey, look, game 1 on Sunday
right
here on WGCL. Our thoughts next. 5:45 at WGCL, our final time with you tonight. CBS Sports Radio will follow us at 6, and then we'll shift it to Wrigleyville. Tommy Thrall, Reds baseball, 8 o'clock. Pre-game, 8:15, Yu Darvish and Trevor Bauer, your matchup game 2 of a 3-game series, Cubs and Reds. Cubbies winning last night 3-0. They only had 4 hits, made them count. Reds had 5 hits and got nothing to show for it. Brooks Koepka is withdrawn from the 2020 U.S. Open next week at Wing Foot because of a lingering knee injury that has bothered him. He hasn't been playing very well since that one flash in Memphis. That's too bad. We hope Brooks gets healthy. And remember, I think he's won how many of these? 2 of the last 3? Something ridiculous. He won at Aaron Hills, and then he won at Shinnecock Hills. And then Gary Woodland won last June of 2019 at Pebble Beach. So Gary Woodland will defend his title at the very difficult Wing Foot. Golf this week, very light field. In wine country, Chris Bailey will be out there, our man on the scene, visiting.
Well, naturally.
His father lives out there, and they go every year. They're no fans, but they have friends on the third hole.
Well, there you
go. So he's outside the ropes.
There's been a few fans. You can hear them.
If you hear hooting and or hollering, it will come from the Bud Light tent on hole number 3. So there's everything covered. Don't forget tonight, Toronto, Boston, and Lakers, Denver. Boston looking to close out the defending champs, 6:40, followed by the late game, the Clippers and Denver must-win game, you'd think, for the Kine Nugs as they try to salvage that series at 2-2, or they trail 3-1, and then it's very, very difficult. NFL football is here. We'll have it for you opening night tomorrow night, 7:30 in Kansas City, the world champions. Did you hear this? 21 of 22 starters are back, and 12 of 13 coaches are back.
For the Colts?
For the Chiefs.
For the Chiefs.
Usually after a Super Bowl, guys leave and go get paid.
That's exactly right.
They've got their ring, they've got their bling, and they have kept this together. The big tackle got a huge contract.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jones, is that it?
Yep.
Mahomes got his deal.
Oh, yeah, he got a big one, too.
Andy and his coach, you know, they don't even matter.
Yeah.
And then they bring in some draft this guy. That's tomorrow night.
Well, yeah.
And speaking of getting paid.
I'm really interested in seeing their rookie running back, who was at
Clyde
LSU last
Herrera,
year.
Clyde Herrera.
Edwards-Helaire.
There
yeah,
you go.
I wanted him for
hilarious.
The Colts, but I like Jonathan Taylor
would be
also,
just fine, I think. And Deshaun Watson got 4 years, $500 million or whatever that was for Houston, and he was crying tears of joy as well. So that game will get us kicked off, but we're more interested in the Colts. Their season will start noon on Sunday right here on WGCL. We're your exclusive home for Colts football. Matt Taylor and the coach, Rick Fanciulli, our new broadcast team this year, taking on a Jacksonville team that's going to start Gardner Minshew, a six-round pick at quarterback, and an undrafted rookie at tailback. They've lost Ngakoue, traded him to the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Released Fournette.
Who ended up with Tom Brady in Tampa.
Yeah.
But we're going to worry about the Colts today. We'll preview their Colts in Jacksonville on the road. Jacksonville will have some fans in the stands. But the 53-man roster for the Colts after the cutdown weekend I don't think came with any huge surprises. And if you're surprised at who the kicker is, who cares?
Yeah.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, can the Colts surround themselves with enough offense for Phillip Rivers? And I think they answered that question.
Yeah.
And they added defensive linemen, which I know you always enjoy talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, defensive linemen, you know, get overlooked a lot of the time. But Frank Reich, Chris Ballard have both talked about DeForest Buckner in exactly the word you like to hear about one of your defensive tackles, maybe more of them, and that is game wrecker. You know, you got a guy in there.
He's 6 foot seven.
He's huge.
He's 300 pounds.
He is enormous, and he's quick, and he can shoot gaps. You know, he's just an absolute monster in the middle, and you don't get many of them in the NFL at any given time. There's, you know, there might be five or six of them right now. You mentioned Chris Jones for Kansas City was one of them. And
Aaron
at the same
Donald,
age, 25, 26 years old. So you got him at a prime age, too. So that's going to make a huge difference, because looking at last year's Colts defense, the biggest difference to me between the previous year, which was a surprise year, and last year, which was disappointing, you know, not only, of course, not having Andrew Luck, but on the defensive side, it was the play of the defensive line. You got a lot of surprise career year types in 2018 on that defensive line that you did not get duplicated in 2019. And everything happens up front. Pressure up front frees linebackers. It makes it easier for interceptions from safeties and corners. It just makes everything easier. You got to control the line of scrimmage, and the Colts have a much better chance of doing so. One interesting thing I saw was with some of the moves that have happened, Kimoko Touré is on injured reserve.
Yeah, his ankle just didn't respond. He couldn't get him into where he needed to be treated. He'll miss the first 6 weeks.
He's out 6 weeks, but instead of bringing in a pass rusher or somebody that you might have some speed on the sideline, they brought in a defensive tackle, Eli Ankou. And so now they have three big guys in the middle. So they're going to have DeForest Buckner out there, and they're going to have him with some big bodies at a lot of different times, because Grover Stewart's a big body, Taylor Stahl was a big body, Eli Ankou's a big body. A lot of big guys there on that defense to try to control some running games that they're going to come up against.
And the good news for Colts fans as well, Tyquan Lewis, by all reports, has had a fantastic camp where he flashed more. Yeah. He's shown the things that we all would help he would show once he's healthy. And that's a pick we shouldn't give up on or forget about on, because the deeper that defensive line is, teams won't be able to wear down the Colts later in football games.
Well, and that's why I thought the offense or the big guys were interesting, because Buckner is going to play your three technique, which is a often a little smaller tackle than maybe your nose tackle would be, but he's not. He's just enormous in addition to the other guys. But you got four of those big guys. I think part of that is with Tyquan Lewis, because you have versatility with Tyquan Lewis. You can put him out at end in a bigger package. He can make some plays on the edge there, but then you can slide him inside, and one-on-one on a guard or the center, he's going to be dangerous in there as well. So, I mean, you do have rotations. You know, you can't look at it and say, okay, we got starter A, starter B, two ends that start. You're playing so many different packages, and you're rotating everybody. Everybody up there is playing.
Yeah.
You're playing all these guys during the course of the game and significant snaps. So you've got to have a lot of different ways you can do it. And Tyquan Lewis has got value in that he can play both and be dangerous, you know, in just about any situation, you know, save for fourth and one on the goal line, maybe at the tackle position. But you got versatility in Tyquan Lewis, and it's great to hear he's recovered because he's been banged up, and you know that always takes it out of you.
If a guy's not good enough, he's not good enough. But let me see him healthy and not good enough instead of limping around.
For them to give him a chance still means they think he's doing the right things off the field. You know, to get himself ready. That's why you heard and that, you know, throw that up against Malik Hooker, who you heard in the offseason, you know, he didn't get his fifth year picked up. But at the same time, you heard some rumblings that maybe he wasn't, you know, working as hard as he needed to work also. And you heard some pointed comments, praising other people for how hard they worked which was a jab at Hooker as well. You don't hear that about Lewis. You just hear this is his time. He's got to show it on the field.
And to be fair,
he has been.
All the, conjecture about Hooker is he's had a great camp. He's been nothing but professional, and he knows if he wants to get paid, he has to have a huge season.
Yes.
Doesn't matter who pays him.
That's exactly what you wanted out of him.
He just needs to get paid.
That is exactly what you wanted out of him.
Some guys need a carrot, and some guys need the stick.
Some guys need to grow up.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
absolutely right.
And you have to grow up into being a professional. And
everybody
forgets. People have to get that, and the way to do that is to do it financially.
And Hooker got here when he was 20.
Yeah.
And you want him to be all pro when he walked in the door. That wasn't the case
just
yet. And he's had injuries. And just like Tyquan Lewis, he's been hurt.
And again, you know, the bar was set a little high for Malik to begin with when you start throwing Ed Reed's name around as a comparison. That's not really fair to him.
But, no, it's not.
He's taken the most of his chance. Sounds like Tyquan Lewis has taken the most of his chance. That is exactly what you want out of the two of them.
Well, the reason we started with defense is because we think we've got a pretty good handle on what the Colts are doing offensively, but their defense needs to be stand up and counted. They're deep at linebacker, little thin at the cornerback position, but they play a ton of safeties. So that's not something that should surprise you. But on the offensive side of the ball, I don't care about the sixth wide receiver. He's playing special teams. I'm excited to see the 1-2 punch in the backfield between Taylor and Mack, and maybe in that order, maybe not in that order.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's going to be looking at how you play those two guys because just like the backup quarterback is everybody's favorite player on the team, backup running back is often in a similar situation, especially when you
have
a lot of
promise. But we've heard him say 1 and 1A, not a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
That's different.
And everybody is running multiple backs and using them in different ways. And, you know, they started giving Nyheim Hines a lot of carries and catches last year, and I think you're going to continue to see that. You're going to see him a lot in the passing game. You know, Jonathan Taylor is going to have to show that he can block in the passing game as well. But I have no doubt that we're going to have an explosive running attack. You had a pretty good one last year, and I think you're going to just see it improve even more so with a variety of options. Remember, the running attack was pretty darn good last year, and that's with Jacoby Brissett limping around the second half of the year, T.Y. Hilton playing on one leg, I mean, Paris Campbell out most of the year, Eric Ebron out for half of the year. You were missing a lot of weapons on that defense to loosen things up, and you still ran the ball pretty well.
And
right now, back and healthy. You've got all but one. I mean, Burton is the only guy not available as far as weapons
are
concerned.
And he wasn't here last year, and that's fine. They'll move
the pieces around. If that's more two-back sets with Nyheim Hines and somebody, I'm looking forward to that.
Stick Nyheim Hines on the wide receiver. See, maybe I can mark him 30 yards the field.
Good luck.
Exciting times for the Colts and the Colts offense. Colts are 7.5-point favorites on the weekend. Well, let's go ahead and get a prediction in, shall we?
I don't like 7.5 in the first game of the year.
No, because usually defense is ahead of the offense.
And this is a new quarterback who's you know, fantastic quarterback. But
Colts in a blowout.
Breaking it in. Colts win.
Colts in a blowout. All right, great. Well, we'll see you on Friday night.
Yes.
North and South, you're back on Monday. We're back tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday night. And CBS Sports is next.